Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. So we're going to pick up the towards the bottom of Yud Zayin Amar Beis, the first wide line down, B'lisnei B'didei. So what the Gemara is referring to here is that I think it's referring back to the Machlokas of Yeshua and who's Rabbi Gamliel, I think, in the Mishnah about how to present different cases in the Mishnah. And the Gemara is suggesting, L'snei B'didei, why don't you teach it from his perspective, V'lok mikigon she'achla shtayim b'fanav achash lo b'fanav. So we're talking about before about the eating the years of the chazaka. It's really mamish in the middle of the discussion here, right? So when the guy claimed that he said it was my father's, right? It was really your father's and I bought it from him. And since he claims that it's from his father and he bought it from him, so he's believed. But if Adam come along and say, no, we know it's his father's. So by you claiming that you bought it from your father, you need some proof. So Gemara says maybe it's some issue of a chazaka. So the years of chazaka, he had 3 years of a chazaka. So Gemara says maybe it should be a case where he had 2 years befanav v'achash lo befanav. 2 years was in front of who? The father, I guess, referring to, right?
Him.
From the son. From the son.
We just said it was really the father. He said it was the father's in the Mishnah, and it was a case where he ate 2 years by the father and 1 year by the son, like Rav Huna's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara was looking for explanations. Why don't we just talk about a case that's more glot, where it's the guy's tightening, it was yours for these years, and not your father's.
Go more direct. Right. Directly to the son, not going up to the father.
Right, then it said that you can't because either you have Eidim or you don't have
Eidim.
If
Pasha,
you have Eidim, then even...
Are they a chazak or no chazak?
Are they a chazak or chazak? If you have chazak, even with Eidim, it's fine. And if there's no chazak, right.
Mm-hmm. So suggests that maybe he ate 2 years in front of this guy, the Ma'arer, and then 1 year he ate Shlobafanov, and Kigon Shabarach, and he ran away. And the Ma'arer ran away someplace, and he couldn't protest anymore. And the Mishnah is being mechadish to us right now that the years that he cannot be, he can't be moche, will not combine to the years of chazaka. That's why the guy doesn't have a good claim. Even though he has 3 years of chazaka, since one of the 3 years the Ma'ara wasn't present, that's why the guy has no taina of shnei chazaka. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's try to figure this out. Shebarach machmas mai, what did he run away from? Mai, I debarach machmas nefashis, if he ran because he had to, his life was in danger. Certainly, we're not going to believe the guy who tainas that he claims I had 3 years of chazaka. The guy ran away. The guys were after him to kill him, so he couldn't protest. No one could know where he was hiding. So certainly, it won't be a good 3 years. So what's the chiddush there? V'debarach machmas mamon, if he ran because someone was chasing after him because they wanted some type of money from him. So then, he should have protested and should have said, wait a second, get off my property. He wasn't in danger. He could have really said that. And the fact that he didn't protest, so the guy really should have been believed. If that's the situation, so then he should have been believed to, he should have protested. The kai malon macha, macha shlobafanav havi macha. That if the macha, and the guy isn't present, is going to be a good macha, the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah, I believe, in Baba Metzia. Baba Basra, I meant. The Tanan, shlosh aratzos lechazaka, Yehuda v'Ivar Yardin v'Hagalil. So there are three different sections of land when it comes to chazaka. There's these three portions, Yehuda, Ivar, Yarden, and Galil. If the guy, Hayab Yehuda, v'hechzik b'Galil, let's say the guy who owned the land is in Yehuda, but the guy is being machzik, the guy who's sitting on the land, the new guy, he's in Galil. Or b'Galil, the guy who owns it's in Galil, v'hechzik b'Yehuda, but the guy is being machzik in the guy's land in Yehuda. There are two different areas. Ein chazaka ad she he'imo, b'medina, has to be a situation where they're both in the same medina at the same time. V'avinam ba. So I want to know what's pshat here. My kasavar, what's the svara? I kasavar machash lebefanav havi macha afilu bihud vegalunami. If we hold in general that you can macha that's not in front of the guy is still considered a macha. So the guy who owns the land in Galil and he's protesting, even though his property is in Yehuda, it should be a good macha across the board. If you're going to hold that if you protest when the guy's not there, it will not be a good macha. Even if you're in the same medina, if I'm in the north of medina, he's in the south of medina, it shouldn't be good because you have to be dafka b'fanav. So this distinction between gal yehuda shouldn't make any sense, depending regardless of how you paskin macha shel b'fanav or not. So the Gemara says, no, really, Amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamel li'olam kesaver macha shel b'fanav havi macha. It is a good macha. If the Ma'arir says, get off, Reuven cannot be my land, even though Reuven doesn't hear it, even though Reuven's not there, in general, it's a good macha. U'masnisin b'shas cheirim shanu. Our Mishnah, where it says it's not a good chazaka, it's talking about shas cheirim. What shas cheirim? So Rashi doesn't really explain much here, but look at the last two lines of Rashi. B'shas chayim shanu diyachol lomar lo niglesi li mechaso shesh mar shtari. It wasn't revealed to me that he made a macha. So shas chayim is a situation where there wasn't peace, where the different medinos were not getting along. In Yehuda, in one area, so there is movement. People travel from one city to the next city within Yehuda. So then the ma'arer could be mocha, even though it's not befun of a Ruvain, the machzik, because there's going to be a certain amount of traveling and people are going to, the word's going to spread. But if Yehuda and Galil, b'shas chayim, where they're not getting along, so then shelo b'fanav won't be good, because it's guaranteed that the macha will not make its way over to the machzik who's in the different medina. So that's the situation where we're saying the shnei chazaka is not a good chazaka. Okay. Now this, I believe, all in the suggestion of the Gemara. This all, we're all trying to figure out if this, the Misha could have said such a case and taught this chiddush.
It sounds like because we can't really find a case that would work b'didei, because if it was Baruch Machmas Nefashos, Vadi wouldn't believe. If it was Baruch Machmas Mamon, he should have made a Macha, because Mach Shalom B'fanim. Therefore, we can't create a case of where it was B'didei, that it was direct to the other person. And that's why we had to rely on the case of Osabuch.
So therefore, we said that, okay, there we go. So now Gemara wants to know the very last line of Yud Zayim and Beis. Ma'ishna Yehuda V'galil Dinokat D'stam Dinokat. So now that we established that the mission of Babasa of Galil and Yehuda is talking about a situation of Shas Chayim. So why didn't the Mishnah just simply say, B'Shas Chayim, that Mishnah should have been clear, Macha Shlo B'Fanav is a good Macha, unless it's Shas Chayim, it's not a good Macha, because the word's not going to travel from one Medina to the next. Why did the Mishnah in Babasa present it in such a way where Yehuda and Galil just stam? And then we have to be Chatech, oh, it must be Daf Yehuda and Galil in a situation with Shas Chayim. So Gemara explains, because the Stam Yehuda and Galil with Shas Chayim Damam. It's a simple situation. Yehuda and Gal apparently didn't get along. I don't know exactly how the Shas Chaim works, but a Stam year, the relation between Yehuda and Gal was in a situation.
I was talking about Malchut Israel, Malchut Yehuda. There was always fights between the kings.
But that's the times in Nevi'im. We're going back to the times in Nevi'im and Malachim and Nach.
But that's my question: is how, you know, how, why did they assume that when we go back to Eretz Israel, it's going to be, because this is after they left Eretz Israel.
Right, so I guess it's possible that even later generations, even after the times of the Nevi'im and the Malachim, it was still in that situation of Shas Chayim. Maybe they always had this ongoing fight.
The Rashbam Babasra says, because Shein Shiaros Mitzuyos Mizulazu, he says, B'shar Ma'achios Yikacherim La'avi Chazak, B'shar Shalom La'avi Chazak. So he says, even the Rashbam says, Afilu B'shar Shalom K'shas Chayim Dami Shein Shiaros Mitzuyos. There just wasn't any travel between the two.
But he compares it to Aval Shas Shalom, though. It is a chazaka, so it does depend on their getting along.
I mean, Yoram Ben Navat, he put the two iglesias, so people shouldn't go. He didn't leave anybody. He didn't let anyone go to.
Right, but that was so far. You know, we're at right times of the Mishnayos.
I mean, there was nothing in Eretz Israel. Anyway.
Right. So.
Well, it's considered different countries, Galilee and Yehuda.
In essence.
Yeah, sure. In the they were to Malchut. They had Malchut Israel. And sometimes they went to war because each other.
The Rashbam seems to be saying that even B'Shas Shalom, Yehuda Galil, it's like Shas Chayim by other Machis.
Yoram Ben Navat didn't want people to go to.
I see how you said that. Okay.
Okay.
But is it because they had no highways back and forth? It's because they didn't get along.
Transportation. Sounds like they just didn't have. People did not travel from one to the other. It was like Hungarians went to Poland.
Right.
Different cultures.
Okay. So the Stam case of Yehuda and Galil, for whatever reason, had no transportation back and forth, and therefore was always considered Shas Chayim. So if the Ma'ar was in Galil and the Machzik was in Yehuda, or vice versa, Macha Shel B'Fanav in that situation would be considered a Macha. Ma'ar now, at the top of Yud Ches Manav, suggests maybe Lisne, Moda Rishu, maybe we should teach in the mission that Rishu agrees in the following case. Bomer L'Chaver, he says to his friend, Mana Lavisi Mimecha, I borrowed $100 from you. Upariti Lecha, I also paid off. Shuneman, he's believed. Mishum the Kabai Lemisai. So that's what the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, should have said. Such a case. Why not say that case?
Instead of a case of Karka, say a case of a Hava, and then you don't have to go on to the father. You can still deal directly with the son.
Say it again. That case.
We're trying to look for cases where. He's dealing directly with the counterparty, who he's telling.
So if you deal with the Levisi case.
So you said by the Karka, you can't really come up with a case that he deals directly.
So may deal with Mamonis, where you could create a situation where you're dealing directly with the guy.
But why you want to deal directly with the guy? What's the original what's the region that it started from.
But here,
because it's convoluted, you know, covered with someone, I dealt with your father. It's not clear.
Where we started. Why we need to such a... meaning in the
Mara thinks it's a cleaner case. Why?
But this is not about a pesha.
Cleaner case about what?
This is a pesha, right?
No, it's not.
But this is because he says, I owe you money, so he makes himself chayiv.
He says, libit, I borrow. So the guy might remember.
No, but see, but he has no proof. You know, Adam. So he's obligating himself, and then he exempts himself.
That's still considered a pesha or a pesha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why not create that case? So the Mara says, because... Mishum de kabay lemisay seifa, because then the seifa would be im yesh edim shehu lova mimenu v'hu omer parativ eno neman. So then the seifa, to have that continued structure, would have to be, but if there were edim that he already borrowed, so you don't need his admission that he owed money, the edim already told me that I owed money. So when he said I paid it off, we shouldn't believe him. But ha kaimalam, but don't we hold the following? Ha malves chaveru be'edim, eno tzarech lefar be'edim. We have a clown that a person who borrows money with witnesses does not have to pay back with witnesses. So in this situation, I'm not sure why he'd be fully believed, though. He would need some of that receipt, I would imagine, that he paid it off. But where the Gemara is suggesting at this point, he would be believed to say he paid off the debt. Now, this requires, I think, a lot more discussion, why he's really believed. But that's, in essence, what the Gemara is saying. He would be believed.
Because I think we said that the person is on the chutzav to say, right? Did we learn that?
It probably has to get involved in that, maybe.
That nobody has a chutzpah to say.
Right, Ain Mei's Panav.
And Ain Mei's Panav, right, yeah. Right, isn't that the reason?
So Modem Mixas, I think later on the Gemara talks about Modem Mixas. Modem Mixas, we make the guy make a shua. But Here, the guy wouldn't deny. The guy paid him $100. He won't stare the guy in the face and say, very good.
Right.
I paid back the money. The guy wouldn't deny it entirely. So based on that svara, the guy is turning in emunus to be believed, you don't need Adam. So that contract wouldn't be good. So it can't be that situation of borrowing money. So that the Gemara suggests maybe listening to Modi Rabbi Yishuv Ba'omer Lachaveir Manala Vicha Biadi. Your father paid me $100, lent me $100. Vechaltiv Pras Shuneman. And I ate some of the money. So the guy is believed. So the guy is believed partially. So Rashi explains here. Look at Rashi. Vinisne Modi Rabbi Yishuv Vechaltiv Pras. Perativ, this is the last wide line in Rashi. Now it's the first narrow line going. Perativ Chatzio Shehu Neman. I paid half of it. Below Shevua, Hov Ein Shur Shachal Fanav. I'm believed partially to say that I'm believed that I paid half of it without a Shevua. Dashmin Rebus, so Davagav the Modem Mixes, Pater Hov Ein Tovo. So normally the halach is Modem Mixes. If you claim money from me and I say I owe you $50 and as opposed to $100, I'm Chayv a Shevua. Here's a great Achidish. If I'm admitting to only part of it, I'm actually Pater from a Shevua. So this would be a great situation to talk about, even though it's talking about the father, it still teaches a great chiddush, that even though it's modes b'mikzas, you're patur min ha-shvua. So why not teach this case? The Gemara says, wait a second. Ali b'deman, who is this? If you take this, if you want to suggest this should be the Mishnah's case, who is this going according to? E ali b'derabanan ha-amri meshiv aveda havi. If you go according to the Rabbanan, who we'll see in just a moment, it's a din of meshiv aveda, and you're returning someone's lost object, of course you don't have to pay a shua if you return someone's lost money, because in essence what's happening here is the guy never claimed any money from you. I did him a favor by saying, your father, by the way, paid me money. I owe you, as his son, $50. I already paid him $50 of the $100, I owe you $50. So you're really being meshiv aveda, just returning the lost object. He had no idea he had this money owed to him, so of course you wouldn't have to take a shua according to him. But if it's Eli, but there will be Elazar ben Yaakov, Hamar shua bai. But according to Elazar ben Yaakov, you would require a shua in this situation. So before we put the whole thing together, let's just look at these two opinions in the Braisa. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Pamim Sha'adam Nishbal Tainat Atzma. There's a certain situation where a person makes his own Taina. He's not being Toveh. No one's claiming money, but he on his own initiates a certain Taina. And based on this Taina, he Mechayev himself a Shvua. Ketad, what the situation? Manu La Vicha Biyadi. The guy says to Ruvain, your father lent me money a few years ago and he passed away. Vechaldiv Pras, and I ate $50 of it. Hareza Nishba. So now I guess I owe him the money back. You have to take a shvua. V'zeo shenishba al tainas asma. This is a situation, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where you have to make a shvua on your own taina. And chacham omrim eino ela kameshiv aveda pater. This is no different than returning a lost object to somebody, whereby there's no requirement to make a shvua.
But if you would say, I borrowed from you one mana and I returned part, then we still have to do a shvua.
Yeah. That's
what it says. Yeah. If he borrowed...
What's the difference between the father and him? If we say that anyways, it's a pesha, it's a pesha, it's in both cases.
Because by him, there's going to be, we'll see, there's issues of being made fun of in front of the actual person who lent money versus the father. Meaning, when it comes to the actual person,
it should be the other way around, and then for sure you should be the shua for the father and not in front of him.
No, because the only reason why we do for the... We'll see the Gemara later on, the bottom is going to explain, but... So let's look at Rashi quickly. Rashi Aliba Deman.
This is Rosh Chodesh Tov.
Yeah. So Rashi says, we have 18 minutes. So Rashi says, Aliba Deman, Tanai Pligi Baha Milsa, Tzimachokas Tanai with respect to this case, Bishvus, V'yamar Rebbe Yeshua Hachi, Lokichai Menayu Havu. Bishua, if we taught this case in Rabbi Yeshua, in the Mishnah, he wouldn't be holding like either one of these opinions. D'i Kerabanan, if he held like Rabban Ha'amri, Afilu Tovo, V'zeh Modum Mixas Meshua Vedahu. Even if the guy were to be Tovea from him, and the guy would return to be Modum Mixas, it would be considered Meshua Veda. So if the meaning of the son were to say that you owe me money, and he says that you're right, I owed your father $50 as well of the 100, he would still be Pater in that situation. But we're trying to say in our Mishnah, the only reason why he's Pater is because no one's Tovea from him. But the implication from this suggestion of the Mishnah implies that if he were to be Tovea, he would have to make a Shua. But Rabbanan says, across the board, you would never have to make a Shua. It's always Meshuva Veda when the son, we're dealing with the son. And when it comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he would require a Shua in all situations. So that's why this cannot be the read of our Mishnah. So Gemara says now, wait a second. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lesley Meshuva Veda, Pater? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold it as Svara? That if a person's returning money, he's Meshuva Veda, he's Pater from a Shua, he thinks you're Chayv in such a case? So Rashi says, fills in some of the gap here, Rabbi Elazar lesley Meshuva Veda, Pater min a Shua. He doesn't hold that you're Pater from a Shua when you return this lost object? Bitmiya? Hatakanda derbanan he, Mesechus Gidden, Hamotzi Mitzia, a person finds a lost object, lo yishba mipnei tikun olam, he doesn't have to take a Shua. Right, because v'chemin dechi einum toveya nami mechayv leshvua hare ein lechameshav veda gdol mizeh v'chayv. So when a person is not being toveya, again v'chemin dechi einum toveya nami mechayv. If he be chayv leshvua when a guy is not being toveya from him, so there's no greater meshav veda than that. Like no one's toveya. I initiated. I offered to the guy some information that he didn't know his father had a debt.
Right.
So that's a meshav veda. And we already have that takana that Gemara Gittin tells us that a person doesn't have to take shvuas when returning lost objects. So how could Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov not hold of such a svar? It's a mefurish Gemara. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in theory could argue, but it sounds like a takana to the Rabbanon that everybody agreed to such a takana. So Amar Rav b'taina katan, situation where the katan was being toein here. So the katan's being toein.
It's not a real taina because the katan doesn't know what it is of das, but it's something.
So therefore, it's enough to be mechayv shvua. In this situation where there's no toveya, so then of course he agrees, it's meshav veda, you don't have to make a shvua, I'm offering you the information. But if the katan, the son, the ben, the katan, he's toveya for me, he's toveya for me, so then that's enough, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, to be mechayv shvua. But Gemara says, what do you mean? Ha'amarar ein nishban al tainas chayv shot of a katan. The tain of a katan is worthless, it's meaningless. How could that be mechayv me to take a shvua? My katan gadol. No, it's really a gadol, the situation here. So my kari the katan. So why do we say it's talking about a katan? De legave mili de aviv katan hu. Because the guy, even though he's over 13, doesn't really know all his father's business dealings. So he's a gadol, he's over 13, but the katan doesn't really understand, he doesn't really know what his father did. So it's not a real full-fledged taina, but it's enough of a taina since he's a gadol to mechayev shvu according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But in general, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does hold a person who's meshav veda, the person who offers that, yeah, I do owe money to your father, there he'll agree there's patim in a shvu. Here's where there's a taina. The taina's not 100% glad because the katan, who's really a gadol, doesn't really know all the dealings of his father, but it's enough for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to mechayev shvu. Yehachi, that's the case, the Gemara says, taina's atzma, taina's acherim hu. We said above, there are some situations where a person's own tainus atma will be mechayv shvua. Well, now this is no longer tainus atma, this is actually tainus acherim. It's the katan slash gadol who's being toin. It's tainus acherim. So Gemara says, no, it's tainus acherim v'hodas atma. The situation where the guy is being toin from him, but it's really based on his own hodah that really completes the act. His toin, the toveya, the tviya from the katan who's a slash gadol, is not really enough to mechayv shvua, because he doesn't really know all his father's dealings. But since the guy himself says, you're right, your father did lend me money, combining the two together is enough to be mechayv shvua. So though, even though it's really a tainus acherim, since it's also tali in the hodah, it's considered tainus atzma.
I mean, he could have said
he denied it and said, right, no, not true. And then it seems like he would just not owe anything. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Every single case, kule tainasa tainas achem, but that's asmanu. That's every situation where the guy says, "Your father, my father, lent you money," and he says, "Yeah, you're right." We never refer to that as a tainas asma. Right. So Gemara says, "My," I mean, the Rashi, "my pamim." What means time? That's every single situation. So Ella, the Gemara says, "Okay, fine. Let's figure this out." Ella hacha here, what we're talking about is as follows: hacha b'drabba kimifliki. They're arguing about Rabba. So what's here? We're talking, I guess, by the Machlokas of Rabbi Yaakov and Chachamim. So what's your Machlokas? Whether or not you make a shvur or not. So arguing about Rabba. The Amar Rabba. Mipnei ma Amar Torah modi b'mikzas hatayna yishpe. So the Torah, the Pasuk says kuzeh. The Pasuk, that's the source of modi b'mikzas. Why did the Torah, Gemara is trying to figure out the svar of the Torah. Why did they say modi b'mikzas is pater, if chayv and a shvur rather? Because chazak ain adam meis part of b'fnei baal, chovo. Guy lends me money. I'm not going to say, you didn't owe me any money. I'm not going to be such a chazer to deny the favor the guy did for me. So I won't stare him in the eye and say, you never pay me any money. I owe you nothing. But he really wants to, but he doesn't have that much strength to completely deny and lie to the guy. We assume most of you didn't have somewhat of a conscience. So he really wanted to deny everything, but he really didn't have that ability to do it. So he held back a little bit. Yeah, I owe you a little bit of money. And you could catch yourself sometimes in conversations, hopefully not too many times, but sometimes you could say, yeah, it's a little bit true. You could admit it partially. It makes you feel more comfortable and it allows you to lie a little bit better once you admit to part of it. Or maybe he really wanted to admit everything. I owe you all the money. You're right. But so why didn't he admit the full 100%? He only admitted to 50%. Kiheicha dilishtamilei v'savar adahavilei zuzei parinilei rachmana parilei. So I want to buy myself some time. I owe you $50, and he's going to go look and do some business and try to make some money to pay the rest of the cash. So he's just trying to buy himself some time. But he really wanted to omit everything. But we say either direction, whether the guy's a really good guy or really a bad guy, either way, he can't entirely deny everything. So he's bodem mixas. So bodem mixas makes us wonder, and therefore the Gemara says, Rachmana, rather, the Torah tells us, Amar Rami Shu'alea kiyech delodilei bekulim. We therefore forced upon him a shvua in order to make him admit to the full 100%. So the Gemara says, now with that background, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar Loshna Bo Loshna Bivno, Enomeus, whether I'm telling the guy himself or telling the guy's son, I don't have the audacity to say in front of his face, even the son's face, that no, your father owed me nothing. I don't have that ability to do that. Hilkach la Meshaveda have, therefore it's not considered Meshaveda, it's being I'm being modu mikta, I'm chayvin a shvur, regardless of who I'm being modu to, father or son. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's why there's a need for a shvur. Rabban Savi Bohu Deino Meis, only in front of the guy himself. No, the son didn't do anything. He just fell into the family, wealthy family, but I have no hakar stov to him. So Meis, I have plenty of ability, I have audacity to say in front of him, your father owed me nothing. I owe him nothing, rather. Your father paid me nothing. I paid him back. So therefore, the fact that he didn't do this, the fact that he wasn't said denying everything, he admitted to part of it, that tells us he's probably telling the truth, and therefore there's no reason to add a shvu on there, he's simply being Meshav Aveda.
So the final, so the maskan is that the case is talking about this, about a katan, about not a katan, but about a son.
A son, right. A son.
It's a yosan.
Exactly. And it's getting to a pretty psychological point of whether a person's being made point of to the son or not. That's the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanon.
Either way, it wouldn't fit to make that our Mishnah.
Exactly. In the end, right, the overall idea is that our Mishnah is what it is, and this does not fit into our Mishnah's case. Okay, new Mishnah. We'll try to get this one quickly. Says the Mishnah, Ha'edim she'amru b'ksav yodeinu huzeh. Edim said, this document, this is our signatures. Aval anusim ha'inu, we were forced to do this when we wrote this. So it's, you can't accept this. We signed it, but we didn't really want to sign off on this. Or, ketanim ha'inu, we were ketanim, we were under the age of 13. We were puzzled to be edim. Or psuleidus, you know, we were psuleidus, we were krovim, we were ganavim, whatever it might be. Hare ilu nemanim. These individuals are believed to say that there was their signature, and the document, however, is not a good document because they were pasul at the time of signing. However, im yesh edim shuksav yadam. If there are edim that no, we saw you, we don't need you to admit. We are testifying that you signed it. Oh shayaksav yadam yotzim makam acher. Or they find another document. with these people's signature. They already had an approval from Beis Din, and they could compare the documents and signatures. We don't need their admission of themselves, so we throw out their initial admission of their signature. And the fact that they later on say that we are anusim or we are ketanim, that has no impact on anything. But if they're the only people who we have to say that it's their signature, we have to believe their entire statement.
We're talking about a lovi, a malvi, or about ksuvas?
I thought of Dina Mamnes. That's what I assumed here. Dina Mamnes. Yeah. So Gemara says now, has a comment on this Mishnah. Amar Rami Barchama, lo shanu ela shamu anusim hainu mach basmanu. Mamon. It's the only situation where they were forced upon by money. I guess in a situation where either someone said, we're going to take money if you don't sign, or we'll pay you enough money if you do sign, something like that. They were anusim because of money. Aval anusim hayinu machmas nefashos. If someone put a gun to their head, hare ilu neman, so they're believed. So what's this talking about, they're believed? So Gemara says, lo shanu, Rashi rather says, lo shanu, de'im ksav yodan yotzim makam acher inu neman. When we said at the end of the Mishnah, that we don't need you to testify about your own signature. We have proof elsewhere that this is your signature. They're not believed. That's only a situation whereby they were forced upon machmas mamon. And Rashi explained, look at Rashi, Elish Amun, Anusim Hainu Machmas Mamon, Delav Kolkiminayu Lishavi Nafshe Risham. They can't say that they were Risham, Be'edis PM Lufsol Es Hashar, because they said they were enticed by money. They can't say that about themselves. Ain't Adam Karv Eitzel Asmo, says Rashi. Ve Neman Al Asmo Lo Lazakus Lo Lechova. A person's not believed to make himself Russia. Bidin and Fashas, fine. So, only when it's Machmas Mamon do we throw out their test, that their claim, that that at the time of signing that they were Anusim, we throw it out only if it's Anusim Machmas Mamon. But if they say, wait a second, a person put a gun to our head, so then they're believed to disqualify the signature, even in a situation where the signature could have been approved from another source. That's what the Gemara initially says. Says Rava, Amarli Rava, Kol Kimine. Did they have the ability to pass on their own signature? Kevin Shehigid Shuvenu Chozer Magen. Once a person testifies, this is talking about actual testimony, Bepeh, once a person makes a statement, it's filed away in basin, and you cannot retract it anymore. So Gemara said, what do you mean? That's Edis, this is Shtar, there's two different things. Maybe that's only by peh, you cannot retract the val shtarlo, but maybe by shtar it's not the case. A person can rewrite, he can retract on something he signed on. Not true. Gemara here and also Gemara in Gittin, which I imagine Adam knows very well, that when Edom sign on a shtar, it's as if they're giving testimony. It has all the same din of Edus. There's a big brisker rub on this. So therefore, once they sign it, it's as if they said it, and you can't retract. So they can't come along and say, that signature that's on that document from 5 years ago, we were at a gun to our head. You have no ability to do that. Once it's signed, it's filed away, and you can't go back. So the Gemara says, fine. Ella kitmar areshitmar. Do you want to have the statement of Rami Bar Chama who distinguishes between anusim machmas mamon versus anusim machmas nefashos? Has to be going back in the resh of the Mishnah where we said, when the guy says, we're the only ones, no one else has any proof that this is our signature. We're the only ones that say this is our signature, and we were actually anusim at the time. Within that world, Rabbi Bar Chama makes the following distinction. In that world, again, kiyitmar areshitmar. Hare ilu nemanim, they're believed to say it's their signature, but they were anusim. When? Rabbi Bar Chama, lo shanu ela she'amu anusim hayinu machmas nefashos. Only if they say, we were forced, a person put a gun to our head. So then, since they're the only ones to testify by their own signature, we're also believed to say when they signed, they also had a gun to the head. Aval amru anusim hayinu machmas mamon. If they say they're being enticed by money, they're being bribed into it, then ain nemanim. We do not believe them with respect to the second half of their statement. Why? Because my taima, ain adam mesim atzma Russia, a person is not believed to make himself into Russia. So we believe them with respect to that there's their signature, but we don't believe them with respect to that they were Rishon, that we were anusim machmas mamon at the time. This becomes an issue of Pagin and Dibur, exactly. This Pagin and Dibur, the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin and elsewhere, that you have to separate, dissect their words. That the first part, that is our signature, we believed, but to say that they were Sham, we can't believe them. We cut in half and believe the first part of their statement. Tana Rabbanan, we'll go a little bit further. We have 4 minutes. Should we stop here or? I don't even have the continuation of the page here. My missive just stopped. All right, so maybe we'll stop here then. 4 minutes per year. Okay. Cut up.